In Genesis chapter 22, don't turn there, I'm just going to tell you the story. Abraham is told by God, take your son up the mountain, sacrifice him there. As hard as it would be for a father to sacrifice his own child, it's not only the sacrifice of a child. I know how strange that sounds, that it's not only the sacrifice of a child. But it's not. It is the end of a promise. God has promised Abraham an entire nation would come from his descendants. Just about the time Abraham was about to give up on the promise, God says, okay, here's Isaac. Now, here's the fulfillment of the promise. You'll have a nation. And then God says, sacrifice, kill Isaac. It's the sacrifice of a son and the end of a promise. The death of a nation before the nation was ever born. Imagine what that must have been for Abraham. Imagine what it must have been for Isaac. Climbing the mountain, carrying the wood, they get to the place of sacrifice. And Isaac asks a question, where is the lamb? That question echoed and reverberated through the years and the decades and even the millennia. Where is the lamb? Abraham gave him a quick and easy answer. He said, God will provide. That question was not answered, and that promise of provision was not fulfilled for about 2,000 years, until finally one day, John the Baptist is at the river. He's baptizing people. The Pharisees come around and they say, John, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not a prophet, what makes you think that you can baptize people? And being a Baptist, he said, hey, it's just water. It's just water. I baptize with water. But there is one coming after who really makes the difference in people's lives, and I'm not fit to untie his shoe. And it says in John chapter 1 and verse 29, turn there with me if you have your copy of Scripture with you. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, been baptizing, being questioned, pointing people to the one who is to come, the true Christ. And then it says in this great verse, and the next day, on that next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isaac's question answered completely. Abraham's promise, the Lord will provide, fulfilled completely. 2,000 years later, behold the Lamb. Behold means look. It means pay attention. Look at this. When Jesus walks up, John the Baptist says, look, everybody, the Lamb of God. Not the carpenter, not the teacher, not the one who will die, not the one who will heal, not the one who does miracles, not the one who walks on water and stills the storm. But the first time Jesus is verbally introduced to the world after his birth, the Lamb of God. I want us to consider for a few moments together this morning that title. How many titles does Jesus have? We could It's a great Bible study to spend time on the titles. Every book of the Bible, except for one, has some title that refers to Jesus. They're all different. He's the branch. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the light. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the one title that was used to introduce him to the world since his birth, the Lamb of God. And so let's think together about that great title as we recognize, first of all, that Jesus was the Lamb of God. John couldn't have understood all that he was saying, and yet he knew that Jesus was the Lamb. He was like the Lamb, the innocent, meek, used as sacrifice. As John used that word Lamb, these are the things that came to mind to his audience that day: gentle, meek, sacrifice. Not only a sacrifice, but an actual substitution. The people recognized the Lamb as the sacrifice. There are two lambs sacrificed every day at the temple. They recognized it was the Lamb that was the substitute as well, because the family would bring the Lamb and they'd lay a hand on the head of that Lamb, and thereby spiritually transferring all of their sin onto that Lamb. And then the Lamb is slain to pay for that sin. So the Lamb is not only innocent and perfect. Remember, they would only receive the perfect Lamb without blemish, without spot. Only the perfect Lamb would be good enough for sacrifice. So he's not only perfect, he's not only spotless, but he's a sacrifice, and he's not only a perfect sacrifice, but he's a perfect sacrifice that is a substitute for those who deserve to die for sin. Sin is instead transferred from the guilty onto the innocent, and the innocent then pays the penalty for that sin. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Those lambs that they were familiar with, however, those sacrificial lambs that they knew, those lambs were brought by men to men. Here is God's Lamb given by God to man. Those lambs couldn't take away sin, but this Lamb of God takes away all sin. Did you hear John's words there? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Those lambs they were familiar with were for Israel alone, but this Lamb would shed his blood for the whole world. I have a very vivid memory. I don't have very many of those anymore. But I have a vivid memory when I was a teenager. We had somebody at the church who was a musician. He was doing like a little concert there at the church. I don't even remember who he was, for that matter, exactly what he was singing, except that he was singing a song that was an original he wrote. It was a song about Jesus at the cross and what that crucifixion meant, what it means that Jesus died for us. And it was, I remember it being a powerful song. It was very beautiful. And he was gifted at the piano. And so while he was singing, he was doing all this up and down and back and forth, you know, kind of like Lisa does. And then at the end of the song, as the last note faded, this is how he ended that beautiful song about Jesus' death on the cross. Remember? She did, didn't she? Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. He was perfect. We celebrate his birth at Christmas. Sometimes we forget that the one who was born at Christmas was the Lamb of God who died on the cross. That was the purpose of his coming. Mary had a little lamb. The Lamb of God. And not only was he the Lamb of God, but the Lamb was killed. The purpose of his coming, the role of the Lamb as the sacrificial substitute, the Lamb was killed. In Luke chapter 22, we see the story of when Jesus and his disciples came into Jerusalem. He told his disciples, y'all go get the room ready for us because we're going to have Passover together. And they go and they prepare the room that they might have Passover together. And Luke 22 verse 7 records, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. It was that day that they met. The day that the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. It is not coincidence that Jesus died on the cross during the time of Passover when the lamb was killed. You remember the story of Passover? The people of Israel are in Egypt. They are enslaved there. God comes and he says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, nah. Moses speaks on behalf of God, let my people go. Pharaoh says, nah. All right, here's a plague. What do you think now? Nah. Here's another plague. What do you think now? Well, maybe. Here's another plague. Okay, go. No, I changed my mind. Nah. Back and forth and back and forth until we go through all the plagues until the last plague, the worst plague. The firstborn of every household will die. The angel of death will come through town and kill the firstborn of every household. Well, how do you make sure that you only kill the Egyptian firstborn and not the Hebrew firstborn? The way you do that is the Hebrews take a sacrificial lamb, kill him, put his blood on the doorpost. When the angel of death comes by, he passes over that house because he sees the blood. They are covered by the blood. They're protected by the blood. They're saved by the blood. And the angel of death passes over. Then from that point on, that became a time of memorial that they would celebrate Passover every year to remember the day God protected his people through the shedding of blood. And it is on that day that Jesus meets with his disciples, and it is that night he is betrayed and taken to the cross of Calvary. Not only that, not only is it significant that it is at the time of Passover, but did you realize as well that where that took place was, generally speaking, the same place that Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham takes Isaac up Mount Moriah, and it is there that Isaac asks the question, where is the lamb? It is there that Abraham says, the Lord will provide. It is there that eventually the temple is built, and it is, generally speaking, in that area, that mountain, that the Lamb of God is sacrificed for the world on that Passover time. The lamb was killed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. John's gospel places Jesus' crucifixion at the time and the place the Passover lamb was sacrificed. And you look at the cross, you hear John echoing down through the years, behold, when you look at the cross, we no longer place John's words at the river, but in our mind, we place John's words, we think of his words when we look at the cross and Jesus dying on the cross for us. It's there that we hear John's word, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isaiah chapter 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, in a loud voice, this is a vision that John has in heaven, and the heavenly beings are surrounding the throne. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Elsewhere in Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was killed. In their family devotions one time, Martin Luther read about the account of Abraham offering Isaac on the altar. And Martin Luther's wife thinks of Abraham about to kill his own son. And she says, "I don't believe it. God would not have treated his son like that." But Katie Luther replied, "He did." Notice the Lamb took our place. Not only was he the Lamb, not only was he killed, but he took our place when he died. The sacrificial substitute for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me read for you 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God." Our salvation was not bought with perishable things, easy things, material things. Our salvation was bought by the precious blood of the Lamb of God himself. The Lamb in Scripture was always a substitute. Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, but instead God provided a ram in the thicket over there. At Passover, the firstborn was to die, but the lamb was killed in order that his blood would cover the house. And for the Jews, the sacrificial lamb took on the sins of that nation. And so the lamb was a substitute for the Jews, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, died as a substitute for you and for me. In his book called Written in Blood, Robert Coleman tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance for recovery was a transfusion from someone who had previously conquered the disease. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. "Would you give your blood to Mary?" the doctor asked. Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. And then he smiled and said, "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy. Neither spoke, but when their eyes met, Johnny grinned. As the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile faded. He watched the blood flow through the tube. When the ordeal was almost over, his voice slightly shaking, he broke the silence and said, "Doctor, when do I die?" He had completely misunderstood the process, and he literally thought that he was giving his life blood that his sister might live. Willing to do so out of the motivation of love, Jesus Christ gave his life's blood that we might find life. Willing to do so out of the motivation of sincere love. Not only did the Lamb take our place. But now, today, the glorious news, the Lamb is on His throne. The Lamb is on His throne. John continues his vision of heaven when he looks into heaven and he says, I saw a Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. In a couple of chapters over, in chapter 7 of Revelation, at verse 9, he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 13, we are introduced to the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you experience eternal life with Him. In chapter 17 of Revelation, the Lamb is referred to as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. In chapter 19 of Revelation, we're introduced and we celebrate the wedding feast of the Lamb. In chapter 21 of Revelation, we find that there is no temple in heaven or sun because the Lamb is the temple and the light. The Lamb is on His throne today. And so we sing with saints throughout the years, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee. Hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus, as the Lamb, was killed. Jesus, the Lamb, took our place. And today, Jesus, the Lamb, is on His throne. As you travel along I-10 in Louisiana, there used to be a large billboard that would capture your attention. It stood high above the city just as you start up the Mississippi River Bridge. And on it was a picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, head bowed, and the caption underneath said in bold letters, it's your move. It's your move. The Lamb has already died, already paid the penalty for your sin. He is now enthroned in heaven, preparing a place for those who will trust Him. Now, it's your move. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's your move. Are you assured of that place prepared for you in the presence of the Lamb of God for all eternity? It's your move.